Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. I'm your host, Ben Carson, and I'm here with a fascinating guest today. You know, we recently saw the one-year anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and, you know, a lot of things have happened since that time. And today we have a special guest who's going to share his testimony and give us some little insight into the abortion industry. Dr. Haywood Robinson, a leading voice in the pro-life movement, serves as the Director of Medical Affairs and Education for 40 Days of Life, which is the largest pro-life organization in the world. He recently wrote a book with his late wife, Dr. Noreen Johnson, The Scalpel and the Soul: Our Radical Transformation as Husband and Wife Abortion Doctors. And we're going to anxiously hear about that today. Dr. Robinson, congratulations. And thank you for all that you're doing for our society. And welcome to the show.
It's a blessing to be here, Dr. Carson. You've written many books, you and Candy. And I must say, this was the first for Noreen and I, and it is an interesting birthing process, but what we want is this to be a testimony to help others come from darkness to light and acknowledge this great Holocaust we're performing on the innocents.
Well, you know, maybe you could start out by telling us about the book and why it was important to write.
Well, working with the 40 Days for Life, and traveling a lot and speaking, people wanted to know our story. And they would ask, well, don't you have a book? And we recognized that if we wanted to get the whole story out, you have to write a book. So Noreen started writing a few chapters. I wrote a couple of chapters. And 40 Days for Life worked with us to get Cindy and Dave to work with us as consultants. And you know, here we are. We talked about doing this about 7-8 years ago, but the Lord had not cleared that in our spirit. And about a year and a half ago, you know, timing is everything with the Lord. And he said, well, now is the time. And just so happened that we were able to release it and get it finished just for the first anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So we believe the timing is good. And it's God's timing. We feel good about the product. And it's just our personal story. It's not an opinion. And we're just blessed to share it.
When you were training, was there much discussion about the ethics of abortion? Or was it something that was just kind of swept under the rug?
For me, it was swept under the rug. Now, for the obstetrician gynecologist residents, there may have been some discussion. But in training programs, as you know, Dr. Carson, you have visiting services like family practice or rotating services. I did not have any discussion or any opt-in, opt-out opportunities. However, as mentioned in the book, there were a couple of residents that I knew and that were very verbal. I mean, these were OBGYN residents who said they would not participate, and they were not given any problem or any grief. They just said they don't want to be involved. And one of them specifically saying, as we wrote in the book, I'm not going to be a part of killing those babies. And I thought that was very courageous of her. And there was one other young lady, a very strong Christian, who did not participate either. But the overwhelming majority, and we did not ridicule them, the overwhelming majority was just to go along to get along. And me not being a believer, you know, at the time, of course, I knew in my heart it's wrong. I think any normal human being who and understands even the slightest bit of biology one knows that an abortion kills and destroys a human life. But we'll talk a little bit later about how one gets to the point where we ignore the obvious.
Yeah, well, it is interesting because I remember as a medical student wondering about it also. But, you know, having grown up in very liberal areas, Detroit, Boston, New Haven, Ann Arbor, and then coming to Baltimore, you know, all very liberal places. And, you know, I had adopted the mindset that maybe it's wrong and maybe I wouldn't do it, but I don't have any right to say anything about anybody else and what they would do. And it was only later when I was thinking about the whole concept of slavery that it dawned on me that if the abolitionists had said, well, I don't believe in slavery, but, you know, you do what you want to do, where would we be today?
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when you were involved in the abortion industry, what did you think was actually in the mother's womb? I mean,
well, we know what we know what's in the mother's
womb.
Yeah, Dr. Carson, we know what's in the mother's womb, but we're seeing it strictly as a scientific thing. We know that the sperm and the egg come together to make a one cell human being, and then we wind up with trillions of cells that have differentiated and grown, and you come out with this human being that God puts a spirit in. But the spiritual things all aside there, what we're talking about is a absolutely miraculous biological process where you go from one cell to all of these trillions of cells in 40 weeks. It's absolutely astounding when you think about it and how complex our human bodies are. But what has happened, and this is how the enemy works in our minds, and that is we ignore that this is absolutely miraculous. Even if you weren't a believer, you have to accept this is a miraculous thing. There's something sacred and special about it. And if we have laws that protect a fully grown human being at 40 weeks where that's born, well, what is it about one that's a bit smaller that's in a leaf space called a uterus? So we do recognize in the preborn under some conditions, but when we use the term abortion, all of a sudden all the legal protections and the interests of the state go away.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that they try to ignore the fact that that's a human life, and yet when somebody commits a murder of a pregnant woman, they get charged with two counts.
you took the words right out of my mouth. And the best example, I think we're thinking of the same famous case, was Scott Peterson in San Francisco. He's on death row because he killed his pregnant wife, I believe, who was like 22 weeks pregnant. You know, you can't have it both ways, Dr. Carson. It's either a human being or it's not. And if it was not a human being, Scott Peterson should have only been tried for one murder, not two.
Exactly. Well, no one ever accused the left of being logical.
Absolutely.
You know, when you think about what we go through in medical school, and all the techniques we're taught on how to improve life and how to save life. Does it surprise you that the medical community is so accepting of an anti-life position?
Boy, you know, I pondered that thought for many years. How is it that for millennia in modern medicine, we acknowledge that Hippocrates started this modern phase of medicine with around 1200 BC. So we lived under a standard that was not bounded by political organizations or governmental regulation. We were agents of the people, but for some reason, we threw away our long-held, highly esteemed acknowledgement of the sacredness of life. I don't understand why we did that. When Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, I was a junior undergraduate. Now, I don't know what is it. Why would we just sign on as the executioners for Roe v. Wade? I don't understand. There was no pushback. I don't want to mention any organizations which should have been standing up for our history, for what we've stood for thousands of years. And I look at it as the greatest betrayal of the public trust in history, to where we just threw everything out of the window and says, no, we're no longer going to protect the preborn. Obstetrics was always known as a specialty where you had two patients, a mother and a baby. But we threw it all out of the window. For what?
Yeah. It is very hard to comprehend, to understand. But how much of it in the area of obstetrics has to do with money? I mean, how profitable is the abortion industry?
Well, we know it's very profitable, and I'm glad that more people are starting to use the term industry. I also use the term cartel, because it's a complex entity that involves organizations like Planned Parenthood, who receives massive amounts, hundreds of millions of dollars of our tax money. It includes very cooperative politicians that facilitate the transfer of our money to these organizations. It involves organized medicine, the alphabet soup of these organizations, which we need not mention on this podcast. And it involves we call it higher education, from undergraduate through medical school, that are complicit with the ignoring of the rights of the innocent preborn. Now, the money, of course, this is a cash business. Abortion, you don't have to file insurance. You pay. This is one of the only procedures where the people come into your office and they pay first. You pay first, take the woman back, you take her baby, give her a graham cracker and a cup of apple juice and kick them out. It's a horrible thing to watch. I was recently in Los Angeles doing work with my organization, my ministry, 40 Days for Life, and we were standing in front of a Planned Parenthood facility, and I watched some of the women come out after having abortions. I'd never really watched women who'd come out, because I was always on the inside, and the despair, the emotional pain, I never really recognized till last year of what it must be like for a woman who has no woman naturally wants to take their child or harm their child in any way, but many are coerced, felt they're not supported. But the look on their faces is just absolutely heartbreaking.
I can only imagine. Well, what about the ones who have chemical abortions? How safe is chemical abortion?
Well, now that's the other thing. Very interestingly, they're selling the DIY abortion is do it yourself. Oh, it's no big deal. You just take this pill and you go home in the privacy of your home, and then you just have a little bit of pain, take a little Tylenol, and everything's going to be okay. Go back to work. Here's your note. This, an abortion is, even when you're doing it with a pill, this is a serious procedure. This, what we've done with abortion, we call it the abortion distortion, where we set up a whole different set of rules or lack thereof because of abortion. There is no pre-procedure or pre-operative assessment. These women, we have no idea how long they are in pregnancy or their gestational age. The medicine, I hate to call it a medicine, is really poison. The poison that they're using to kill the baby is designed to be only used up until about 10 weeks. Women are getting these pills who are far longer away in their pregnancy than they expected because they want to take the pill or the easy way out. They're given this pill. They're not told or given any method of how they disposition their baby. Most of them are flushing these babies down the toilet. They're left alone. They're in pain. Most the people in the audience know what an ectopic pregnancy is. There is no assessment with ultrasound if there's a complication. So what they've done is they've set up just a situation here. This is so harmful to women, but they're not even keeping statistics now to acknowledge adverse effects with this poison. So you have, and women are not very prone to come in and get help when they've had complications with abortion because they're shamed. They want it to be a secret, but it's not a secret. The woman never forgets their abortion, and it's a dangerous thing. All the standards that we use in standard medicine are thrown out of the window because we want them women to be convinced this is a safe, easy way for abortion. We've got human traffickers, pimps, etc., that keep their own supply of this poison so that when their workers get pregnant, they'll just give them the medical abortion with a chemical abortion pill. It's a sad thing we have this this thing available right now.
Wow. I wish, I hope a lot of people hear what you just said. That's very impactful. We will be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back in 1 minute with our fascinating guest, Dr. Heywood Robinson.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back with Common Sense. We have Dr. Heywood Robinson with us today. And Dr. Robinson, you know, there are a lot of abortionists who attend church services. You and your wife came to an understanding about abortion and life and the preciousness of life in church. What did you hear that they don't hear?
Well, first I want to say that just attending church will not make you a believer, no more than if you sleep in the garage, you're going to become a car. You're going to have to go through a born-again experience, an experience with Jesus, a Damascus Road experience, you might say. Now, my particular conversion was not as dramatic as Damascus Road, but we all have our personal testimony. But when that happened, it was the Lord speaking instead of him saying, like he said to Paul, "Why do you persecute me?" Now, the main thing that the Lord pointed out in our lives, and of course, abortion wasn't our only sin, of course not. But because abortion was the thing that the Lord wanted to use my wife and I to fight, that's what he soon got us involved with after we became believers and started becoming discipled as Christians. So very soon after coming to the Lord and going through that process of where you're learning how to pray and praying, learning the word, he put us in situations of a pro-life ministry. The very first pro-life ministry I was involved in was a pregnancy resource center. Now, this would have been the late 80s. Back then, there were very few pregnancy resource centers. There was no ultrasound. We had a budget of about $1,100 a month. Can you imagine? And now, of course, we have a lot more, and we have the technology of ultrasound, which many people in the audience may know that when a woman who was abortion prone gets an ultrasound, they have about an 80% rate of conversion when a woman hears and sees their baby and recognizes this is their baby inside their body. Because what the pro-death movement was successful in doing is giving a totally dehumanized description of the baby as being some foreign tissue inside the body rather than being a small human being with heartbeat and toes, etc. So we were thrown into the pro-life movement, and the Lord had just blessed us abundantly to be involved with quite a number of pro-life efforts all around the world. And right now, 40 Days for Life is my primary ministry I'm involved in, and it's been a blessing to be involved in something that started right in my hometown, Bryan College Station, Texas, about 100 miles north of Houston. Yeah. And we're really blessed to be a part of that.
Was it simultaneous, you and Noreen, or one of you go first?
Well, see, it was really me. I did not know the Lord. I went to church up until the time I went off to college, but Noreen was actually saved when she was going to the Pentecostal church here in Trinidad with her older brother, and she knew the Lord. But as things go, when you go off to college, backsliding is just a common thing. And basically, absolutely, she remained backslid until I came to the Lord, and she knew what was happening in me, and it caused a personal revival with her reading the word and recommitting herself to Christ, and the Lord just worked it out. So we were like two cars converging on the freeway at the same time going to the same destination, which was really, really a blessing to have a co-regent that, you know, where you're really focused, on doing the same thing. And interesting enough, Noreen, or one of the several physicians or senior residents that actually taught me how to do the procedures that we used when we were moonlighting as abortionists. Mm. And in the book, you'll see that is an interesting thread of virus or curse within both of our families, of how abortion works its way as a virus through a family.
Did fatherhood play a role?
Not, well, actually it did, Dr. Carson, because I went to, I was saved at this Christian music concert 3 weeks before Noreen was going to have a repeat C-section for our second child. And I think what the Lord was doing, I recognize that retrospectively now, and that is, I think the Lord was saying, you know, this is a transition time. This is going to be a special child. This is where your life turns around. So very soon after that concert, our youngest daughter was born, and that's when everything was changing. Because I didn't know anything about the Bible or salvation or eternal life, none of that. And it just so turned out my roommate from medical school was coming to be a part of the delivery, who was like our youngest godfather. And he was the son of a Pentecostal preacher. So he was very instrumental in leading me into understanding the basics of the gospel.
Well, now, how did you go from there to being right on the front line of the pro-life movement?
Well, I think the Lord does that. I enjoy meeting people. I think my testimony, our testimony, being as former abortionist, helped catapult us more into a national stage, having that testimony on what it was like to be on the inside of it and then what it's like to be set free. But we also just had a passion. People, I think, are drawn to people who have passion in the same way that, you know, you've done so much to change people's understanding and appreciation of neurosurgery, because they see it rather than from a scientific, very complex thing, which it is, but they see it through the personhood of a Ben Carson and their personal testimony, not just an isolated profession, so to speak. They see it as your personal ministry. They don't see it as an applied science.
Right. Well, what do you think about the fact that it's so difficult in our country to adopt babies? And what impact does this have on the industry?
Why is it so difficult to adopt a baby and so easy to kill a baby? I don't understand. It takes thousands, what is it, maybe $40,000-$50,000 to adopt a baby, and there are all kinds of hurdles put up. There are people, you know, when we were at active practice, and again, Noreen was with OBGYN, I was in family medicine, you get heartbreaking letter after letter just asking if there's anyone that wants to, you know, have the baby put up for adoption. We're this loving family, and we've been trying, and it just breaks your heart. There is no reason whatsoever that we can't fast track or make it more simple, the whole process of adoption. There's so many young kids out there that need a home. There's so many young people that are tied up in the foster care system, and they could be adopted. I'm not saying, you know, we can't take them all, but we need to have the process revamped.
Absolutely. Well, maybe there's somebody out there in the listening audience who can put something together and take it on as a mission, because we're talking about thousands of lives that could be saved. And there's so many people out there who want a baby. They just want a baby like anything, and they just can't get it.
So, that's right.
Now, you know, the work with 40 Days for Life that you do, what's the significance of that name, 40 Days for Life?
Well, as you know, Dr. Carson, the number 40 is commonly found in the Bible in miraculous situations. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah was on the water for 40 days. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. You know, we could go on and on about. So 40 is a spiritual number. And we thought that, well, the way it turned out, the staff was sitting at a table and we were just kind of frustrated. What are we going to do next in our movement to make a difference in trying to get our Planned Parenthood facility closed in Bryan College Station? And the Lord spoke to one of the members, participants in the meeting, and said, pray and fast for 40 days. And standing just peacefully, prayerfully, quietly and physically in front of that facility. Sometimes there would only be one or two people, sometimes 10, many times 100 degrees, sometimes raining, but whatever the condition, to be there. You know, the prayer, the Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Right.
And I think we don't understand as believers that prayer is something we overlook as an instrument for warfare. And we stood there and we, instead of shouting epithets and negative language to the workers and the director, it would be more loving. It would be more a quiet, loving approach. You know, the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we saw the story, which many people in the audience are aware of Abby Johnson,
right,
coming out of there. And now she has a global ministry to get people healed from the industry working in there and helping women transition out of that type of work. So it was a simple model. We started in Bryan College Station back in the late 1990s. And do you know, we have almost 700 prayer campaigns. We do it twice a year, 40 days, Mexico, Canada, Central America, United Kingdom, all around the globe, Philippines, and we're still expanding all through Europe. So it's amazing. And what I think we've recognized, and we need to also stress to our audience, this is not something that started in 1973 or recently. The harming of innocents and the killing of babies has been going on for millennia. All you need to do is read the Bible, particularly like 2 Kings chapters 21, 22. You'll see some very stark descriptions of how babies were sacrificed. So the whole notion of harming the innocents is not new. It's something, unfortunately, that we practice now in the Middle East, in the time of Israel, when they were going through kings, and before they were, God released Babylon and Assyria on them, they were doing it as a religious practice, but coupled with horrible sexual immorality. And it was very, very offensive, very, very offensive to God. But the point is, the devil has been motivating human beings to harm innocents for a long, long time. And this is a global holocaust. There are about 1 million babies that are being aborted in the United States. However, mm-hmm. there are 60 million babies that are aborted on the planet. So this is a global world war against the innocent preborns, and we've got to recognize it as such.
Absolutely. And the Bible also says in the book of Proverbs, 24th chapter, 11 and 12, that we have a responsibility to protect the innocents who are being drawn unto death. And it says, does not he that seeth everything know what you did? And will not everybody be rendered according to what he has done? That's pretty dramatic. But we will be back in just a minute with our fascinating guest, Dr. Heywood Robinson. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we are back with Dr. Haywood Robinson. And Dr. Robinson, first of all, your story reminds me so much of Paul in the Bible, who was Saul, and then on the road to Damascus, he had this great transformation, and you went from killing babies to being right on the front line to saving babies. And isn't that a manifestation of the God we serve? He's just amazing. I look at my own life, and I was an angry teenager with a knife, tried to stab somebody. And what did he do? He took that knife out of my hand and gave me a scalpel to save lives.
Amen. Thank God for
that. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
But what has or have you noticed to be the effect on the abortion industry since the Dobbs decision?
Well, I think they're a bit more confused. I think they're angry. They want to come out more as heroes now for these women that they say they're protecting their reproductive rights. It's always interesting, the euphemisms that they use to describe killing babies, reproductive rights, etc. Even the name Planned Parenthood is a joke, isn't it? Well, they're angry, but we have to be more proactive. We can't react to how they're reacting to what the Supreme Court did. Now, I think that decision helped the reputation of the Supreme Court more than it did help the number of abortions to decrease. You've got to accept the truth is the number of abortions actually has not even decreased 50%. Mm. What does that mean? That would mean if we looked at it the same way as slavery or the Emancipation Proclamation and the 14th Amendment, etc. You know, you had a relatively true end to that institution, right, when they overthrew Dred Scott. In this particular sense, that's not the case. We've got to keep the focus on the babies. There's still babies out there by the thousands that are being killed. And yes, we celebrate the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It needed to happen. I think that was a horrible scourge on our country, on the institution of the Supreme Court. But the reality of it is that one baby's life is more important than the reputation of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is made of women and men, and humans make errors. And sometimes they make horrible, horrible decisions on purpose. So let's stay focused that we've got to do what it takes, whether it be a personhood amendment or to somehow get the preborn recognized under the 14th Amendment. So every preborn child has their right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness recognized. And when you read the documents of the framers, it's clear that these men that were working under Judeo-Christian principles, and that they believed that it was these principles were living into ourselves and our posterity. And so we've got to keep working. We've got to recognize that abortion offends God far more than it does us. So if we get behind Him in prayer and activism, we're going to win this thing.
Absolutely. Amen. And what can people do, people who are concerned about abortion in our society? Is there anything the average person can do?
Yes. It's called get off their buttocks. Everybody can do something. You can volunteer at a pregnancy resource center. You can pray one day during a campaign with 40 Days for Life. You can work in a maternity home as a volunteer. There are all kinds of things you can do. It's just do something. Don't just sit around and complain about the left If you can't do something yourself, use some of your personal resources to help underwrite a ministry.
Right.
Everybody, if we get all hands on deck here, we can get something to do. Too many people just sit in their buttocks and move their lips.
Well, you know, the very easiest thing to do is to write a check. I mean, there are thousands of pro-life centers around. You can find one in your neighborhood, and you can support them financially if you don't have time or the inclination to do anything else. And each contribution you make is saving a life, and that is so
important. Amen.
Well, you know, you have been such a warrior, such an incredibly important voice. God has raised you up for a time like this, and we are very, very grateful for all the lives that you are saving. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Carson.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You enjoyed that fascinating discussion with Dr. Haywood Robinson, a man who went from being an abortionist to being on the front lines of the pro-life movement. And it's wonderful to see people appreciate the value of life and to celebrate that. And speaking of celebration, for your prescription, you know, we're in the month of July and the 4th of July. A time to celebrate. John Adams, our second president, wrote to his wife, "This date should be attended with all the pomp and circumstances of anything that we do." And for your assignment, let's celebrate. We've had a couple of years where we had to sort of lay low because of COVID. And we need to teach our children the significance of our Independence Day, what went into gaining our independence, why our freedoms are so important to protect, and why we, the American people, are not each other's enemies, and why we can't allow ourselves to be divided by political people who are simply seeking power for themselves. That's not what America is all about. So that's it for this week. Remember, Apple Podcasts, free of charge, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, so you don't miss any episodes. Rate us, review us. Spread the word about common sense. We really want to make common sense common once again. And don't forget our keys, our foundations, faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.